Hi, I'm Nick Gillespie with Reason TV. We're in Las Vegas at Freedom Fest, and we're talking to the Cato Institute's Vice President, David Bose. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
You just came from a presentation where you were talking about the libertarian view on liberté, égalité, and fraternité, the rallying cry of the French Revolution. Lay it on us. What should libertarians think about liberté as it was articulated by the French revolutionaries?
Well, this is the anniversary weekend of the French Revolution, so we're talking a lot about that here. My view is that Mises and Hayek talked about the ideas of 1789. They liked them. The fundamental ideas, if you read them in the Declaration of the Rights of Man, are very good. We are born free and equal. We have rights. Property is inviolable. Now, along with that, you can find other clauses in the Declaration of the Rights of Man that portend some problems, references to the general good and the sovereignty of the nation. And that tells you maybe that several people were involved in writing this and it isn't entirely consistent. But the fundamental idea, the storming of the Bastille on July 14th, was an indication that they saw the Ancien Régime as an absolutist regime of the church, the aristocracy, the monarchy, the mercantilists, and storming the Bastille was a way of overthrowing that and symbolically taking back freedom.
Is it taking back freedom or is it creating it for the first time in a French context or a European context?
Well, I think that our view, at least, is people are born free and equal, so we're always free. We have to take back our freedom.
But everywhere we're in chains.
But, well, that was an illiberal writer's interpretation. A liberal French writer, Madame de Stael, said, liberty is ancient, it is despotism that is modern. Okay. So she did think, going back to the medieval world, there was a pre-feudalist natural equality.
Clearly, within the contemporary American, Anglo-American libertarian movement, the French Revolution has an incredibly bad odor, partly because of the terror that came in its wake, but also because there remains a kind of antagonism towards continental or contemporary Europe, and the French state is seen as both snobby and overbearing. Are we getting it wrong there, or are there things that we can learn from the from France today that are worth applying?
I think we're getting it partially wrong. I do think the spirit of overturning the old order, the Ancien Régime, the rule of the church and the king, that was a good liberal impulse. That part was right. The confusion with the general will, the general good of the nation and so on, that part was bad. And unfortunately, that part underlay a great deal of what happened in the French Revolution and beyond. It's certainly true that their revolution deteriorated into a reign of terror and then Napoleon. Eventually, though, they came out with a modern democratic capitalist nation, which is better than the Ancien Régime that preceded it. Can the United States learn anything from France today? I'm not sure, other than winemaking and cheesemaking.
Right. Well, that would be a start.
That would be
good. You know, some of the people in one of the panels here, you know, actually asked the question, are we headed towards another American Revolution or another French Revolution? What's your sense of things? I mean, you have been a longtime hand in political kind of observation and political policy debates. Is this a particularly crisis-ridden moment in the American experiment?
We're always talking about crisis in America, but the fact is, I think that modern mixed economy democracies are pretty stable, and it's very difficult for a Ronald Reagan or a Barack Obama to make a big difference in them. And so much as I'd like to see another American Revolution, I'm not necessarily betting on it. We have this huge overhanging debt, and that's the best argument, that there's nothing we can do about that, and we're going to end up with a crisis because of it. But I also remember 35 years ago when I was a college student, the first libertarian speaker I ever heard said, we're going to have hyperinflation, buy gold and guns, that's the only thing that'll save you. And our political system averted that disaster. And I suspect we'll find a way to avert that disaster, or maybe just to push it off farther down the road. And I suspect it may include some inflation. It may include debt repudiation. It may include not being able to pay all the promises governments have made. But I'm not convinced that we will have an American Revolution of either kind.
Another thing that recurs in libertarian thought is the idea that the youth are inherently libertarian, or that this next generation is purely libertarian. We talk a lot about this at Reason, people like Cato do. You know, if you're born and raised on the internet, you're already living in a libertarian world. Do you have any sense that youth today is more libertarian than they were in the past?
I do have a sense of that. I also remember that we thought when our generation got to middle age, surely drugs would be legalized, because come on.
Right.
And that hasn't happened.
Yeah.
There is clearly a larger libertarian student movement today than there ever has been in modern America. So that's a sign that there's more libertarianism among today's young people. And I suspect that today's young people generally are very liberal on social issues. Racism is very much a thing of the past. Anti-gay attitudes, very much a thing of the past for young people. Question is, what about economic issues? And I think young people pretty well see that government isn't any good at running the economy. The problem is they don't yet necessarily see that the market's pretty good at running itself.
So they're still looking, I mean, they look at, say, something like the housing collapse, and they don't say Amazon.com would have done this better. They recognize that the government screwed up, but they don't trust corporations.
Well, I think that's probably right. I mean, we're talking about trying to figure out what 20 million kids think.
Right,
But yes, I think there is an understanding that the system isn't working, but not a good understanding that there's an alternative system.
So we're not out of jobs yet, right, David?
Not yet.
Okay. David Bowes, Vice President of the Cato Institute, thanks for talking to us.
Thank you.
For Reason TV, I'm Nick Gillespie.